Undisputed. Welcome. This is an Undisputed Free Agency special. As most of you know, Shannon Sharp and I are usually on this network every weekday morning, 9:30 to noon Eastern time. But for reasons you all know all too well, this show is not being done in studio. Would you believe it's being done in my house? Living room's right there, kitchen's right there. Would you believe this is the table that my wife Ernestine and I usually have breakfast at every weekend morning? But today, for the next hour, my man Shannon and I are going to turn this table into our debate desk. And we're going to go at it over Bucks, Patriots, Cowboys, and what Bill O'Brien allegedly said to DeAndre Hopkins. So, Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Are you ready to get homeschooled?
Well, considering that they've canceled all school, I've already been promoted to the next grade.
Have you?
And I'm just here so you don't get bored.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you better have more to say than Mr. Lynch had to say at the Super Bowl. Topic number one.
Yes.
Will Tom Brady instantly turn the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into a Super Bowl team?
Super Bowl. Do I think they'll be better? 11-5 will probably get them to the playoffs. I'm not willing to say Super Bowl contender just yet because I want to see how well they play defensively. Now, Skip, they should be better defensively for the simple fact Tom will not put them in harm's way like Jameis did last year.
I hope not.
So if he just has half as many turnovers as Jameis has, that should equate to maybe three more wins. And I think if I'm not mistaken, Skip, they're 7-9, 8-8. So that should equate to 10-6, 11-5. Mm-hmm. So do I think they're a playoff team? Yes. I believe the Saints are still in playoff, will be a playoff team. I believe the 49ers, Seahawks.
Cowboys.
No. I'm saying by the Cowboys. Y'all don't have a quarterback. You believe you go into the playoffs with Cooper Rush?
He's tagged. We're good.
He said, I'm not signed. I'm not playing under the tag.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do believe they'll be better. And Bruce Arians made that abundantly clear. If he can win as many games as he won with Jameis turning the ball over the way he did, he should be able to win more games with Tom Brady, who takes care of the football.
Mm. So I suddenly hear my partner Shannon Sharp coming around on 43-year-old, soon to be 43-year-old, Tom Brady. You thought he was hitting wall, falling over cliff last year in New England, all the stats down. Mm-hmm. I kept telling you, he's got no help. Belichick gave him no help. I almost felt it went to the point that Belichick was sabotaging Brady in his final year because he wanted Brady out and wanted to go forward with Jared Stidham, I guess. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Correct.
But to me, you are telling me that Tom Brady is still going to be good enough at 43 to turn the Bucs, who have been pathetic over the last decade. They're suddenly going to be a Super Bowl team?
They're the worst sports franchise of the major sports in North America. They are like probably like 200 games under 500. I think they got a 347, 350 win percentage, which is not very good. Here's the thing. When you look at what he's gone into, you get two 1,000-yard receivers, actually two maybe 1,200, 1,300-yard receivers. Excuse me. You have two tight ends. I don't believe people realize how good O.J. Howard can be, Skip.
This dude
can be special. 6'5", 255, 260, can run like he can catch the football. He just needs more opportunities. Now, I don't know how many more opportunities he's going to get when he has those two legit guys outside. Cameron Brate, who had a great relationship with Jameis. Imagine, Tom loves throwing to the tight ends. Some of Tom's best years is when he had those two tight end sets going in New England. And we know what he was able to do with Gronk. Now, I'm not saying any of these guys have the ability to be Gronk.
Yep.
But when you have two guys outside that can stretch the field, and you have two guys that can work the middle of the field, Tom Brady, yes, he went from hell to heaven as far as offensive weapons going from New England to Tampa Bay. I don't think anybody will deny that.
I certainly won't. I'm going to go this far. Tom Brady will turn the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the woeful Buccaneers, into a division winner and into a conference winner.
Wow.
They are Super Bowl bound because of Brady and the fit with Bruce Arians and the great Tom Moore. I brought him up when we talked yesterday. Mm-hmm. but he was the guru to Peyton Manning and Indy for all those years. He's 80 years old, but he will have some input into this. And trust me, that was a reason that Tom chose Tampa.
Yeah, but Skip, when you look at Tom, Tom, with the exception of that one, that the few years that he had Randy Moss, was never a guy that really pushed the ball down the field. Bruce Arians liked to push the ball down the field. Tom is a guy that likes to middle, you know, 15 yards and back. Yep. A lot of screens, a lot of short crosses to Julian Edelman when he had Wes Welker. And so for him, that's going to be a change because in order – Bruce, B.A., they call him – we were talking about Bruce, but B.A., Skip, he loves to push the ball down the field. He likes the reward that comes from the big plays and knows in order for you to win games, you need to get big plays. All that nibbling, at some point in time, you have to get those explosive plays.
Okay.
So the question is, how does Tom Brady rewire himself to say, you know what, in year 21 – at 43 years of age, I know I have not been this the majority of my career. How do I all of a sudden adjust that says, I need to push the ball down the field?
Stat time. Would you believe that in what are called deep passes, I'm talking about Tom Brady last year, when he was 24 touchdowns to 8 interceptions without a whole lot of help. Again, for those who have missed this stat, Julian Edelman was his primary target. He led the NFL in drop passes. But remember, for a while, Tom had Josh Gordon.
Correct.
And for a brief moment, he had Antonio Brown.
Correct.
So on what are called deep passes, that's 16 yards plus.
Yes.
Tom Brady's passer rating last year was 98. He completed 40 such deep passes, which was average for his on average for his career. In his best year, back in let's go back to his MVP season, 2017. Okay, in 2017, on those passes, he had a 96 passer rating. Last year, 98. So he was actually a little better last year, slightly better on what are called deep passes. Than he was in his MVP year in 2017. So my point to you is, I think you've forgotten how many deep balls he threw early last year in the first 8 games. I've been watching NFL Network all morning, and they've just showed a parade of Brady deep throws, but they were mostly coming in the first 6 or 8 games.
Right, and the thing you'll skip is that everything was predicated is that they dink, 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 and then they hit you over the top.
Yep.
That's not how B.A. runs his offense. It's deep, deep, deep. Now I'm going to dink you when you start backing off. Skip, but as you mentioned that he was great in some areas like the deep balls, he was very bad in the red zone. He was terrible at pressure. He was terrible at the blitz. This was his worst year.
Okay. He had nobody at tight end. They were the worst group production-wise of any tight ends in the NFL.
Right.
He had 39-year-old Benjamin Watson and Matt LaCosse. What? We went from Gronk to that, and all of a sudden, you already pointed out, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, they're both way better than Tom had. And Tom loves his tight end, as we've seen in the past.
Right.
Going back to Aaron Hernandez and Gronk right? And yet, if you add on top of the tight ends, two big physical, especially Mike Evans, wideouts, who made the Pro Bowl last year, now he's got 4 better weapons than he had in New England all of last year.
Oh, there's no question. This is the best group of pure receivers that he's ever had.
Okay.
I mean, look, Randy Moss is in a class by himself. But when you pair when you pair Mike Evans, Skip, it's hard for me to believe that he's ever had this much talent on the offensive side of the football from a skill set. When you look at O.J. Howard, you look at Cameron Brate, you look at their two receivers.
Could be the best ever. Yeah.
Right, because Gronk, I don't know if Gronk was there with Randy. Gronk wasn't there with Randy. So with that being said, at one particular time, this is it.
This is it.
And he gets this at age 43.
Okay, and their pass blocking line last year was ranked by Pro Football Focus 10th, which out of 32 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't love the tackles, Donovan Smith, and I haven't watched him closely, Damar Dotson, because I didn't care about the Bucs last year.
Right.
But they protected Jameis pretty well because he threw a whole lot of deep balls.
He did. But here's the thing, Skip. When you're looking at Tom Brady, you don't worry about the tackles because Tom is good at sliding one way or another or stepping up.
Yep.
You need to worry about center, guard, guard.
Okay.
Center, right guard, left guard. Because that's where he's always struggled. When you can get pressure in Brady's face, because he doesn't, Skip, he's not the same guy rolling out. He's not a Mahomes. He's not Rodgers.
Obviously
he's not,
not
Russell Wilson being able to throw
the
ball.
I give you that. Remember, he did not have his center all last year, David Andrews.
Right.
Huge loss.
Yes. So his ability to step up, Tom would rather step up than step out. and teams try to force him to step out as opposed to stepping up. So the tackles are unimportant. Obviously, you don't want slugs out there, Skip. But if you can shore up where they can't just automatically just get pressure immediately in Brady's mm-hmm. face, they should be okay.
Okay. And remember what Tom Brady said to Jim Gray after the 2017 season loss in the Super Bowl,
correct.
In which it was 41-33 mm-hmm. because Belichick's defense gave up 41.
Right.
Are you happy? Jim Gray asked him. I have my moments.
Right.
Are you receiving the appropriate gratitude from the Patriots? I plead the fifth.
Right.
Bruce Arians is fun to play for, right?
He loves his quarterback.
He loves his quarterback. So I think Tom Brady just well might have the most fun next year he's had in 20 NFL seasons out from under the tyrant, the dictator that can be Bill Belichick.
Well, Skip, everybody knew what he meant when he says about the appropriate praise and the gratitude.
Yep.
They know that was directed at Coach Belichick. The fans, his teammates have heaped praise.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sure. Kraft has heaped praise. Is Coach Belichick, when someone would ask him about Tom, he would say, yeah, Tom played well, just like some of our other guys played well. It was never Tom by himself. It was always, yeah, Tom played well, but we had other guys to play well also. So I believe that's what Tom was getting at when he says, I plead the fifth.
Okay.
Skip, it's kind of like, you know what? If you had a domineering father, you really, what you want from him is his praise. You want him to say, good job, son. Mr. Kraft saying what he said, his teammates saying that, yeah, that meant a lot. But the one guy that he wanted the most to hear that from was you know who. And he never got it isolated where Tom was unbelievable. That's it.
He got it in a statement after he announced he was leaving, right?
Tom said, well, hold on, where was this for the
yeah,
first 20 years?
Yeah, where was that? And were you just trying to ease the blow a little bit with that PR release, I love you, Tom, right?
That doesn't even sound like Coach Belichick
nope,
saying
it did
I
not.
Love you.
Okay. I am here to submit to you. Tom Brady will be more driven next year than he even has been in his previous 20.
Oh, no question.
He will be on a mission.
Yes.
To show Belichick he can win without him, to beat Belichick mm-hmm. to the next Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So it's huge that you have weapons and a coach who loves to throw the football.
Yes.
With a mentor in Tom Moore, who is the guru of throwing the football, mm-hmm. which is why on offense, they're going to be explosive next year.
They should be.
Okay,
they really should
now,
be.
Now, let's go to the defense. As you know, I love Todd Bowles. Mm-hmm. I did not love him as a head coach of the Jets.
Right.
But I've always loved him as a D coordinator, and they were starting to come to life in the last six games last year when
correct.
They went 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what Jameis did to that defense. Jameis threw 33 touchdowns, which is pretty good.
Second in the NFL.
Second in the NFL, and he threw for the most yards in the whole National mm-hmm. Football League. Way to go, Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
But he undercut all of it with 30 interceptions,
yeah.
which led the league by, let's throw this in, 5 lost fumbles. So that's 35 turnovers total.
Mm-hmm.
That led the whole league by 12 turnovers.
Yes.
Think of what he kept doing to his defense. They had the worst starting field position in the National Football
mm-hmm.
League, all due to Jameis.
Correct.
You just can't overcome
no.
that, right?
Right.
They had to defend 189 possessions by the offense. And by the way, they had to face the toughest offensive slate in the NFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
If you take all the offenses they faced, they ranked number one against, you know, going into the Tampa games.
Right.
So 189 possessions they had to defend was tied for first in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, help me out. How can any defense survive the onslaught,
yeah.
the sudden change, as
and,
they say?
And Skip,
that?
A lot of times that goes against the defense, but pick sixes go against the defense total.
Mm-hmm.
But Jameis did that. They weren't even on the field. And they got punished for that. How many times, I mean, think about it, Skip. There were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were 3 times
yep.
on his first pass of the game was a pick. Let that sink in. Whether you take the field and you're like, okay, whoo, we got off the field. You sit down. D, you back up.
Yep.
Because Jameis has turned the ball over. Look, I believe Tom is not the, and everybody, I think everybody can agree with this, that Tom is not the same guy. But even at his worst, he's not going to turn the ball over like Jameis did at his best. Jameis, Skip, Jameis has never been able to overcome his turnover propensity that he left college with. Okay. He was a turnover machine in college, and he's exacerbated that. Maybe he didn't exacerbate it. Maybe he's just playing more games, and we get more opportunities to see him turn the ball over.
And by the way, I remain a fan of Jameis, but I cannot defend the turnovers.
No, no, no. You can't win like that.
And you couldn't defend him at Florida State, but they were so loaded.
They were so much better than everybody.
They were. They overcame it.
Yes.
So he threw 30 picks last year. Think about this. He threw 7 pick sixes. 7?
Yeah.
Okay, Brady, who had a couple of pick sixes last year, but he's thrown 6 in the last 10 years. So Jameis was 7 just last year, Brady 6 in 10 years.
Right.
The last 10 years.
Right.
Okay, I don't think he's going to throw 7 pick sixes.
I don't know.
Okay, so now let's look at interceptions. Tom had a career high 14 interceptions, but he did it 3 times, and they all came early in 02, 04, and 05.
Right.
So pretty early in his career, he had 14, 14, and 14.
Right.
But that's his high for his career.
Right. Uh-huh.
So last year he was 24-8 in a quote-unquote down year, mm-hmm. or sort of slow, as he's sliding into the sunset.
Right.
24-8 with the lack of receivers yet. Not all that bad. So if you take away 35 turnovers, what if Tom has 10 total turnovers? Mm-hmm. You cut it by 25, how much better could the defense be next year?
Mm-hmm.
I bet it'll be pretty good.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Right?
Skip, if you take away 42 points from their point total, because he throws 7 pick sixes, they're not on the field. That's 42 points that goes into their category. When they didn't even step on the field, how many times did he turn the ball over and they run it back to negative territory? And the next thing, you know, even if they just give up a field goal, that's points going against them that they didn't deserve. To put this in perspective, Jameis Winston has thrown more interceptions in 5 years than Aaron Rodgers has thrown in a career.
Okay.
How do you win?
Aaron Rodgers, I give you, he's the master of not throwing interceptions.
Even Russell Wilson. You just can't win with the amount of turnovers that Jameis mm-hmm. has put the team. You
cannot.
Just can't win like that.
Okay. So now you step back from the defense and you say, wait a second. Shaq Barrett led the league in sacks,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Lavonte David's a stud at mm-hmm. linebacker. Mm-hmm. They re-upped
JPP.
With JPP. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing some firepower there.
Yeah.
They got to shore up their back end a little bit.
Right.
But they could. They might do it in the next few days, for all I know.
Right.
And now I look at Tom Brady with the ultimate challenge of, can I turn a perennial loser into a winner kind of overnight, because I don't know how much OTA they're going to be allowed to have given the current circumstance in the
you're,
world.
You're right about that. So he's starting at a disadvantage, because knowing Tom the way we know Tom, he would want to get in there immediately and start working right away.
I assume he could just with his receivers.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably call him somewhere. Yeah.
They could come out here to L.A. and throw, right?
The question is, Skip, is that how much control does Tom want? Because when Peyton went to Denver, Skip, they basically say, okay, Peyton, whatever you want.
Yep.
Skip, he ran the meetings. He ran walkthroughs. Everything that happened, it was because this is the way Peyton wants it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So does Tom want that kind of control, Skip?
Because maybe not that much, but some.
Right. I'm sure they'll work some things. Tom, what do you really like? We're a deep throwing team. But if that's not what you like,
mm-hmm.
because before every game, you know, Skip, the offensive coordinator, head coach is, okay, what do you like? He's telling him, okay, I like this, I like this. I'm not really crazy about that. Let's put that on the back burner.
Okay.
Well, that's how B.A. is going to approach this with Tom Brady. Skip, he's great at the screen game.
Okay.
I don't know. Tampa's not a very good screen team. But if somebody's really good at something, why don't you equate that into your offense?
Okay, now let's go scope, big picture. I'm looking around, and I know it's still pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other NFC team loading up. Again, was it huge that DeAndre went to Kyler? But are they a threat to get to the Super Bowl next year? They might be a threat to make the playoffs.
Right.
But that's the biggest move so far. The 49ers got a one back, obviously, DeForest Buckner.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be really good. You know, New Orleans, Jenkins.
They're going to lose Emmanuel Sanders. That's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
He provided some stability for them. He was very good for them.
I got something for you in Emmanuel here in just a moment.
Oh, yeah. You're hoping he go to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because remember, Skip, he did get behind KC.
Okay.
That could have been a game-tying touchdown.
Right.
And Garoppolo overthrew him by 5 yards.
Okay. So we look at the schedule, and I'll just go through it real quick at home. They got Green Bay. They got a huge game against my homeboy.
Yep.
Kansas City comes, then Minnesota, New Orleans, Chargers, Atlanta, Carolina, and Rams. You know, pretty tough, but not dominating, yeah. You know, where you just can't win some games. Then away, they go at Chicago, at Detroit, at Denver, at Vegas, at New Orleans, at Atlanta, Carolina, and then the Giants. It's a kind of schedule where you could win 12 games.
Well, Skip, they're tough. It seems to be, and you never know what someone's going to be.
Yep.
But it seems to be their most difficult opponents are coming to Tampa.
Yep.
So
I agree.
And they will be favored. Kind of glad, because guess what? Tampa's the NFC team.
Yeah.
And guess who covers the
NFC? Yeah. Love that. Yeah, we get them on Fox.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, Cowboys, you're going to have somebody to challenge you for.
That clinches it. Tampa Bay wins the NFC next year. No mercy. Shannon Sharp, how good will Bill Belichick's Patriots be without Tom Brady? And good luck with this one.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to the Patriots fans. Yep. We're going to see just how loyal these Patriot fans are, because they've had 20 years of the greatest run in maybe professional sports history. Maybe you got to go back to the 20 Yankees or the 50 Yankees when they were winning 9 or 10 World Series, Skip. It seems to me they're trying to get younger. At the end of the season, they were the oldest team in all of football. Coach Belichick, there's no denying it's hard to argue what he's been able to accomplish, but he let this team get old on his watch. And maybe, Skip, he wanted to keep it together because it was a good thing. It's kind of hard to break something up when you have such a level of success that no one in the history of the NFL has ever enjoyed. But it's going to be rough that you're going into the season and basically said, and I believe Stidham is probably going to start the season.
Sounds like it.
You know, Andy Dalton still could be made available through trade. You have Cam. You have Jameis. How fitting would it be, Skip, they take Jameis in New England? I don't know if that's going to happen, considering.
I would also say good luck to that.
Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turns the ball over way too much for Coach Belichick. For the first time, Skip, in Tom, probably 17, 18 years, they're not going to be favored to. I don't know if they're going to be favored to win the NFC East. I would probably say Buffalo.
So would I.
Would be favored to win the
I think hands down.
Buffalo's done an unbelievable job.
They added Stephon Diggs. That's not bad.
Oh, yeah. And consider
on paper, they're just better than the Patriots.
I agree. I think they're going to give him some leeway, Skip. I think the fans are going to understand. It kind of seems like they're kind of rebuilding. Without saying we're rebuilding, it looks like they're rebuilding. Skip, you let Van Noy get out of there. You let Danny Shelton get out of there. You let some of the other guys get out of there.
Daron Harmon. Jamie Collins.
The center, Karras, he signed to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Landon Roberts just went to Miami.
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. it without him saying it and without them saying it, it looks like they're rebuilding.
Okay. So because all I know that they've done is Joe Tooney, the left guard.
Right.
They put the tag on.
Right.
Really? On Joe Tooney? Okay. Whatever. They re-upped with Devin McCourty. Okay. Right. They got that Demir Byrd from Arizona for no money.
Right.
$2.5 million, I think it was. Right. Is that going to change your life?
Well, Skip, it seems to me that they're building this team. They want to stay strong on defense and understand that they're going to be in some very close ball games. Stidham, don't turn the ball over, and let's try to win this thing late. Because that seems to be – because if they couldn't get consistent movement of the ball with Tom Brady, how the hell – and you kept the same weapon, unless they go into the draft and they trade up and they get Judy or CeeDee Lamb or some one of these guys, Skip – I don't see where the production is going to come from on the offensive side of the football.
I don't either. So I'm going to hit the list one more time of all the mass exodus of players that Belichick has lost so far. And again, it's early. They have the 23rd overall pick in the draft, and then they have 3 third-rounders. Not exactly a draft stash,
right.
But not exactly a Fort Knox of picks.
Right.
But still, they lost Kyle Van Noy, who was a real playmaker,
and
he went to the Dolphins, and Jamie Collins went to Lions, and Lions traded for Daron Harmon.
Right. Danny Shelton went to the Lions also.
Danny Shelton went to the Lions, and then Landon Roberts just went to the Dolphins. And I'm thinking, wait a second, the Dolphins, they're starting to load up on defense, right?
Yes.
So what did we see from the Dolphins late in the year last year, starting sort of mid-season? Well, they were pretty good because they knocked off the Eagles and the Patriots, and they did – it was week 10 they won at Indy. Not a bad – but they started to click a little bit.
Yes.
And I think just off beating Eagles Patriots late.
Gave them confidence.
Right?
Yep.
And all of a sudden on defense, you had my guy Byron Jones from the Cowboys, mm-hmm. way overpaid for him, but as you always say, you're free, you're right place, right time. Is he still a good player? Yeah, he's a good player. He just doesn't intercept the football.
What did Brian Flores have?
Okay.
You look at what he had in New England. He had Stephon Gilmore. Now he has the two highest paid mm-hmm. corners.
Yep.
Woods and Jones. So he's like, I'm going to lock it down. We're going to play man-to-man. We're going to come get you.
Yep. Added Eric Flowers, did the Dolphins, and that Karras, who's the center for Brady mm-hmm. last year, Ted Karras. Ogba, who's a good edge rusher. Shaq Lawson.
Yeah, they got him from KC,
They did, okay. And Van Noy. I don't know. They're going to be much better on defense. Are they going to be a threat to Belichick? Yes, they will
be. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Everybody got better in that division except the Jets so far. Now, the Jets can still make a splash skip. They need pass rusher. Jadeveon Clowney is still out there.
Yep. So, I got to tell you, right here, right now, on paper, if Jared Stidham is the starting quarterback next year, and I've told you this before, I watched so much of him at Baylor mm-hmm. and Auburn. When the going got tough, he got crazy-eyed. Okay. That's what he got. He got deer in headlights looking to me, where he lost his poise in big moments. He is filling the biggest shoes any young quarterback has ever tried to fill in the history of this league. Mm-hmm. It's the GOAT shoes.
Right.
I feel for the kid.
I
That's
do too.
Hard, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what can you expect from him? Not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, he had a preseason game this past year in which he threw a couple of picks and Belichick yanked him and put Brady back in.
Yeah, Skip, it's not very often that a guy comes in and follows a legend. Now, we get Aaron Rodgers following Brett Favre, and he's been as good, if not better.
Yep.
We get Steve Young, but Steve was like 10-year vet when he finally got an opportunity to replace Joe. He was MVP. So that's a little different than Stidham coming in replacing Tom Brady. This is only going to be a second year.
Okay. So does Bill Belichick have five aces up his sleeves right now that we don't know about? It's possible. He usually does. He better.
Where are they coming from?
I don't know. I don't know. Is there some big trade he's going to pull off? Trading what?
Yeah, exactly.
As you said, and again, I'm glad you said it, he let that team get old around old Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So last year was a rough year, and I remind everybody, Tom Brady still had them right in position to have the two seed mm-hmm. in the AFC, and then Belichick's defense gave up an 80-yard drive to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the rest is history because they lost their bye week, and then they lost a home game to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you would agree with me then, Brady is going to make Belichick look bad next year.
I believe so. But the thing that Coach Belichick has on his side, Skip, is that he'll coach, and you can coach longer than you can play. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, we're going to give Brady 2 years. He basically has 2 years to get to the finish line.
He's running a sprint versus Belichick's, right. I could say marathon. Yeah. He could coach into his 80s. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Skip, Coach Belichick would be 68.
Mm-hmm.
Could he theoretically coach 5 more years? Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe more. Seriously.
Yes.
Okay. So, we've put the Patriots to rest mm-hmm. here. But my Cowboys are starting to make news and make moves and make waves. Gerald McCoy signs with Dallas.
Yep.
You know I love Gerald McCoy. Mm-hmm. He is a good man. We've had him on Undisputed. Mm-hmm. He is a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
He is 32 years of age, and I think he's still got a lot of run stuffing and pass rushing left in that body of his at 32.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in Oklahoma City. He went to the University of Oklahoma. I grew up in Oklahoma City. You can't help but love the Cowboys because it's kind of like Dallas North.
That's it.
Okay? So all of that fits and works for me. And I know they lost Robert Quinn, but Robert Quinn was part of a defense that was pretty sorry last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that's an upgrade at a little different position. He's more of an interior mm-hmm. rusher. Your thoughts on Gerald McCoy. Did you raise your eyebrows?
Well, Skip, I thought when you look at what they lost, Malik Collins, Robert Quinn, Jeff Heath, they had started to lose, with the exception of Quinn, they had started to lose some depth. This, I think, the Gerald McCoy signing, people are like, oh, okay, yeah, we lost Quinn. We didn't really want to lose him. Pass rusher led the team in sacks. Collins, short, Jeff Heath. But, McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, Skip, are you getting the Gerald McCoy from mm-hmm. old, or are you getting an old Gerald McCoy?
What do you think?
That's the unknown.
I'm going to say of old.
Can Skip, if he can give them somewhere between, let's just say, between 6 and 10 sacks.
He had 5 at Carolina.
As a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. But what you really need is DeMarcus Lawrence to revert back to what he was before he got the big payday.
Please.
That's what you mm-hmm. need. He's the guy. He's your table setter. If he can get going, now you're going to get Gerald McCoy getting a lot of one-on-one. But if he can't get going, well, it really doesn't make it. They're going to have now, you know, with the laxation mm-hmm. of weed, I saw Randy Gregory tweet that he's going to come back.
Please.
I don't.
Maybe.
Skip, I don't know is he grandfathered into the old? I don't know how that works. We'll talk about
Plus,
that.
Plus, he has played so little football for the last couple of years, it's hard to know what he has left.
Exactly, because we saw with Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon was never the guy. When you skip, you can't miss that kind of time and expect to come back and be the same guy. But I like the addition of Gerald McCoy because they have started to lose. I mean, the thing that we know about Jerry, kind of like the Patriots, they don't lose anybody that they really want. Mm-hmm. They find a way to get it done. He kept all of his offense. That's what, Skip, this is an offensive-based football team. We love defense, but they're a Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper, that offensive line. That's what they are. Gallup, that's what they are. Now, if they can add Emmanuel Sanders, they're going to be a tough out on offense.
Thank you.
They're going to be a tough out on offense.
Jane Slater, NFL Network, tweeted earlier today, they're interested in Emmanuel, and that Emmanuel is very interested in Dallas. He went to Southern Methodist University in the heart of Highland Park in Dallas.
Yep.
And I think there could be a good connection there. Would he take a quote-unquote hometown discount that Jerry loves, maybe sort of a homeschool discount? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right.
But to me, that would set them apart. He made the 49ers go last mm-hmm. year. I know Debo did too, but all the big throws, it seemed like, went to him. Mm-hmm. Jimmy G loved him instantly.
Right.
Like from midseason on.
And the thing is, Skip, but the question that I have is that he's looking at what Randall Cobb got from the Texans. They gave Randall Cobb, Skip, $9 million.
Desperate panic move. $9 million a year for 3 years.
Yes. Look, I love Randall Cobb, and he has a resurrection. He played really well for the Cowboys. But he ain't DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Skip, you don't give away one guy, then overpay for another guy and hope the fans forget what you actually did.
Thank you.
But that's them. Back to this, the Cowboys, I love what they're doing, considering that they were losing so much depth. Mm-hmm. And if they sign Gerald McCoy and then get Emmanuel Sanders, they might be in some business. But it's, Skip, and it's no fault of anybody on, it just happened. This virus thing is sitting everybody back because we don't know when they're going to get the OTAs. We don't know when they're going to get the mini camps. We don't know when they're going to get the training camps. So that's it. And then you're dealing with Dak's situation. That's all that being said, Dak is the most important thing. Skip, he needs to be there. And mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that he's going to be there because given the, like, y'all mm-hmm. tag me. Y'all keep telling me y'all love me and y'all believe I'm your franchise and y'all believe I can win multiple Super Bowls. But that's not what I see.
I agree with all that, but this young man has such football character. I think he'll shove that aside when it's time. At least I hope he will.
Right.
I think he'll be there as much as the OTAs will allow everybody to mm-hmm. be there. Now, when it comes to game number one, if they're still at a huge impasse, this is the kind of guy who could go Le'Veon to where he just says, okay, I just can't play.
And the thing is, Skip, is that until he signs, you can't fine him from not being there. But what people, Skip, here's a little written this into the CBA. Now if you hold out more than 5 days, Skip, you losing the current season and the fines can't be forgiven. You know, Skip, guys hold out and say, okay, he gonna come in, get new contract, fines forgiven. They won't forgive the fines now.
Advantage Jerry, right?
Yes. So Dak's like, well, as long as I don't hold out, there's no fine that's being acquired.
Back to Emmanuel Sanders. I'm going to remind you, Mr. Sharp, when he was at Denver and then he was at San Francisco, he played out of the slot a good portion of the time, maybe 25% of the time.
Yeah.
He's comfortable playing the Randall Cobb position.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you could use him some in the slot with Gallup, with Amari, with Blake Jarwin as a pass-catching tight end. Not a blocker, but a pass catcher. Now you got a flying circus.
Yes, he's special. He can play out the slot, but he plays a lot outside the numbers. Where in the past is that when you had Beasley was mainly a slot guy. He did Randall Cobb could play out wide. But he mainly played in the slot. Emmanuel spent a lot of time out wide, Skip. And then when obviously they went to third down, he would get bumped inside. So he can play both areas, and it'd be a nice change of pace. Because the thing is, Skip, you don't want this to happen. But let's just say Gallup went down, because we saw Gallup miss two games last year. There's a big drop off between when you have Amari and Gallup, then all of a sudden you have to go to your third or your fourth guy. With Emmanuel, now you don't really have a substantial drop off.
Okay, I got a plan B for you. I don't know if you got to watch this kid enough when he was at Texas last year, but remember, Dallas has the 17th overall in the first round, right, and then the 51st, which is later in the second round.
Correct.
Devin Duvernay is a slot receiver.
Mm-hmm. He caught a bunch of passes.
Every time I turn on my TV, especially against my Oklahoma Sooners, you couldn't stop him. He was a machine coming out of the slot at 5'10", 200 pounds.
That's
he
a big
ran
slot guy.
4.37 at the combine. That'll work.
Yeah.
He's more built fire pluggish, you know. He's short.
So he's more built for the slot.
He's more built for the slot. So again, if you could get him in the second, and I think he'll be there, unless I'm talking somebody into snatching him ahead of that. Probably the Eagles will take him, right? But to me, if you can't come to terms with an Emmanuel who might want too much money for Dallas, that's my only concern, because he's a bona fide big bargain.
Right.
He's been there.
To Pro Bowl.
Right.
Skip, the question that I have, like I said, I didn't watch a whole lot of Texas games, but I know who the kid is. The question is, what you want from your slot receivers run after the catch. That's the utmost important. Skip, you can't throw the guy a 3-yard route and he has 3 yards at the end of the catch.
Mm-mm.
You need him to get 8. So that's what separated Welker. That's what separated the guys Edelman. Those slot receivers is that yards after the catch. Because he has the body. You mentioned he's, 5'10", 200?
5'11".
So he has the body.
No, 5'10". You're right. I'm sorry.
So he has the body to do well after the catch. The question is how much of that, because, Skip, things happen a lot quicker in there as opposed to being outside.
Every time I looked up, Sam Ehlinger, when in doubt, would throw it to Devin Duvernay, and nobody could cover him. And I'm sure they tried to bracket cover him with two, and he just kept getting open and snatching the football.
Right.
So again, would he be a great fit in lieu of that?
Mm-hmm.
You better believe it. So there's one other name that's sort of off radar. The Cowboys did re-up with that Darian Thompson at safety. They lost Jeff Heath, and I told you 1,000 times on Undisputed, I like Jeff Heath, but he's just a guy to me. He'll blow you up if he gets a good shot at you. But he's like, do you remember Bill Bates for the old Cowboys? He's more out of that mold.
Right.
Where
great special teams guy who could fill in, but did you really want
really
him starting
cover.
Game after game after game? Probably not.
Darian Thompson was a third-round pick by the Giants, and the Cowboys somehow snatched him up.
Right.
And I think they like him enough that they think he's a significant upgrade to go forward over Jeff Heath.
Yeah.
So I like that. You've talked about the exodus, all the other players, Malik Collins, and obviously
it seems like they all went to the Raiders. The Raiders just take it everywhere.
Well, your man Jason Witten went to the Raiders.
Yeah,
right?
Heath went to the Raiders.
I know. Okay, so I'm not upset. I won't miss either one of those guys. And I love Jason Witten. Thank you for all you did on and off the field, Mr. Witten. But still, you all but made fun of him last year, and you've continued to say that even you, at your stage and age of your post-career, could outrun him in 40 yards.
Skip, the thing is that it's hard to walk away from the game when you feel like, for me, when I ask these guys, if Jason Witten were to win a Super Bowl, is that going to change your perception of Jason Witten? No. But he feels that he's unfulfilled if he doesn't at least play for one. And I don't think he's any closer joining the Raiders and playing for the Super Bowl than he would be. Well, it seemed like the Cowboys were ready to move on. I don't think they really wanted him back, because they could have brought him back at a minimum salary and gave him basically the incentives that the Raiders gave him, if that's what they wanted.
He can still block.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a great presence in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And I can argue in the huddle.
Right.
And he's box office, which Gruden and company need as they move into a new city with a new stadium,
right in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. So you can sell Jason Witten,
because
he's a good guy,
right,
on and off the field,
right.
But will I miss him as a player? Well, come on, it's three yards catch and a cloud of dust because he's going nowhere, right?
Basically, you're absolutely
right. And he stunted the growth of a Blake Jarwin, whom Dak Prescott has said repeatedly just might be the best athlete on the team.
Right.
And every time I saw him catch a ball it looks smooth and sweet to me.
And right? That's the thing, Skip. Most of the time, when you have a guy that needs opportunities, you clear the deck for him. I don't know why the Cowboys, Skip, I'll give you a prime example. The 49ers released Jerry Rice because they saw what T.O. could be if he were removed from the equation. Mm. Now, Jason Witten ain't no T.O. I mean, ain't no Jerry Rice. They brought him back. Why? Let Blake Jarwin grow, because this is what you need now. Let him and Dak build that rapport. All the catches that he took from Jarwin last year, Witten, Dak could have been building up an even better rapport and a better understanding with Blake Jarwin. I believe there's no question in my mind. This is the right move for the Cowboys. Move forward with Blake Jarwin. Wish Jason the best with the Raiders.
And if you need a red zone target, there's this guy named Dez out there. Remember the old 88? Why not? I say I'm desperate enough. Bring him back.
No, hold on. I listened to you for 16, 17.
He wrecked the season?
Yes.
Okay.
And now in 2020, you want him back.
He's reformed. He's rehabilitated. He's swallowed his pride. He's been humbled. And he would accept the role of just catching big balls in the red zone with a big old body.
Skip, he hasn't played in 2 years coming off an Achilles tear.
Okay.
What do you expect to get from him?
I want to win my five cases of due back from you about the Cowboys making the playoffs. And I'm on record saying I still believe this team is a playoff team.
And you believe your best chance of winning your five cases of due back is signing Dez.
That's just icing on my cake. But it's going to have a lot of candles on my cake. Enough of my Cowboys for now. No mercy. Michael Irvin said yesterday on ESPN, and bear with me on this, that DeAndre Hopkins told Michael that he had a final conversation with Bill O'Brien before he got traded away from Houston, obviously to Arizona. And in that conversation, Bill O'Brien told DeAndre, and remember, this is all according to Michael, so it's secondhand, that Bill told DeAndre that this final conversation was starting to remind him of conversations he had with Aaron Hernandez. Obviously, Bill coached him in New England. And again, via Michael, that DeAndre told Michael that Bill even disparaged the fact in this conversation that DeAndre has multiple children with multiple mothers. Mm-hmm. Your reaction?
Well, Skip, I saw the quote, I saw the tweet that DeAndre put out. Mm-hmm. He didn't deny it.
No.
He just says, hey, I have the utmost respect for Bill O'Brien, because he realized the firestorm by Michael saying this, what this created.
I agree.
This makes Bill O'Brien look really, really bad. This is almost bordering on the line of a fireable offense if this were to be true.
Yep.
So I'm not saying that it is or it isn't, but DeAndre Hopkins could have said, this isn't true. But that's not what he said. He said, I have the utmost respect for Bill O'Brien, always have, always will. My thing is, Skip, Bill O'Brien at the time did not know Aaron Hernandez had the baggage that he had. It was only
I think they knew some of it before he was drafted.
Right, but to the extent of what we later found out, I don't think that's the... But DeAndre Hopkins has really never been in trouble with the law. He's never even been questioned.
Nope.
Now, DeAndre Hopkins is his own man. And it seems to me, look, the thing that we know about Bill O'Brien is that he's right off the Bill Belichick tree, is that they don't like authority in the locker room other than their voice.
That's true.
And DeAndre Hopkins had a voice. And people gravitated towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to, if you are a strong man, the offensive lineman, remember, Skip, that he spoke out against, the owner said what he said, they traded him. He's in Seattle now. Jadeveon Clowney, they traded him to Seattle. And now all of a sudden DeAndre Hopkins finds himself in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to this that Bill O'Brien has a problem with a black authoritative men that
you can make the case.
That's not subservient. Like whatever you say, coach, that's not how they operate. They and I think the thing is moving forward that Bill O'Brien is gonna have to find a way to cultivate a relationship with men that have opinions that's different than his.
Mm.
But this is not a good look. Bill O'Brien needs to come out and says, but he can't. Because if he comes out and says that didn't happen, and DeAndre Hopkins come out and says that it did happen, now we got something on our hands here, Skip.
So, big picture. I've told you from the start, I'm not a big fan of Bill O'Brien's as a coach and certainly as a general manager. Mm-hmm. to be fair, before I launch, there are all kinds of reports that DeAndre was already unhappy over money. Mm-hmm. He just wanted more money.
Right.
He's in that 13, 14 range. Mm-hmm. And he's going to want more money right. now that he's an Arizona Cardinal.
Right.
So already there was some conflict before this. So was there underlying tension in this last conversation that had to do somewhat to start with money?
Right, probably.
I will give you that. But Bill O'Brien now has total control mm-hmm. of the Houston Texans, wearing both hats. And this really hit me wrong, as I think it hit you wrong.
Absolutely.
And in my eyes, I'm so with you that Bill O'Brien is a chip off a block in New England where he was judge, jury, and executioner. Mm-hmm. He was the dictator. He was the tyrant. His way, Belichick's obviously, or the highway. And I think he's carried that into a situation to a fault. And if it's true that the conversation got heated over maybe money and mm-hmm. and sort of emphasis,
right.
do you deserve more balls,
right.
whatever. And he did go so far as to say, this is starting to remind me of conversations I had in the end of
right.
Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Really?
Well, I'd have said, I don't know what Aaron Hernandez got to do with this. And if he'd have mentioned anything about kids, I'm like, why the F you worried about how many kids I got? You don't have to support any of them. You see, Skip, the thing is that Bill O'Brien, the general manager, has done Bill O'Brien, the head coach, a terrible disservice. Because you traded one of the premier receivers in all of football, and for what? For peanuts? Cracker Jacks? Mm. I mean, think about what you got back in return. You traded Jadeveon Clowney, and what did you get back in return? You traded two first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil, and you still haven't re-signed him. So he's doing, the general manager, Bill O'Brien, is doing a terrible disservice. Look, I've been very fortunate that I've really never had head coaches that they respected me. And I think the way I carried myself, they know they couldn't talk to me any kind of way, Skip. Because Bill O'Brien, see, they'd have had to get rid of me because I'd have been at his throat in the office. So they'd have had no choice. Because when you bring things like that, that's personal. That ain't got nothing to do with Bill O'Brien. That has nothing to do with football. So when you address me as football. Don't address mm-hmm. Now, Skip, if you're trying to give me some positive feedback, okay, about life, okay. But you're bringing me this like it's a negative. Like, oh, you got two, well, the greatest quarterback in the world that we believe the greatest quarterback, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He got kids from two different women.
Ain't
nobody say, oh, he terrible, he
Bingo.
Terrible. He no, stop this.
Did Bill ever say that to Tom?
Man, Tom would, maybe that's what they was yelling about from sideline watching it, but I doubt it, Skip. Look. Coaches, look, you got to stay in your place. You just can't talk.
And this is DeAndre Hopkins, who
yes.
has earned a place as, I'm going to say top five, but you can make the case he's top
three. Top three, yeah. Yeah, he's not getting out of the third position for me. Like I said, I love Julio over all of them. But DeAndre Hopkins and what he's been able to do, Skip, only Randy Moss has more receiving yards mm-hmm. in his first 5 years. I think Marvin Harrison has more catches over the first, seven, 8 years. Nah, man, nah.
Yeah.
Now, if this is true, Skip, Bill O'Brien was way out of line.
You know what it comes across as? This was an anger trade mm-hmm. where he just said, I'll take the first offer that comes down the mm-hmm. pike. I'm getting rid of this guy because we had that sorry, clashy conversation that basically ended our relationship. Doesn't it feel like that?
It does. And that's what did they say, Skip? Transactions and things should not take place when you're in an emotional mm-hmm. state, because you're going to say something that you'll later regret, and you'll probably do something that yep. you'll later regret.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have this time. I want to thank Jonathan and John and Daniela for making this show happen. I want to thank my wife, Ernestine, and our Maltese, Hazel, for letting us take over their house, which is still my house and now Shannon's house. And I want to thank all of you for watching. Please stay safe, and please stay home. No mercy.